I'm Todd Zwillick. Welcome back to The Takeaway. And now a look at President Trump's right-hand woman at the United Nations, Ambassador Nikki Haley. President Trump, like a lot of Republicans before him, has criticized the United Nations and called for reform. He did it again today. And Nikki Haley has said that the changes at the UN the president demanded on the campaign trail have already come into effect.
It is a new day at the UN. What you are now seeing is The Israel bashing has become more balanced. You've got a United Nations that's action-oriented. We've passed two resolutions on North Korea just in the last month. And you also have a United Nations that is totally moving towards reform. We said that we needed to get value for our dollar, and what we're finding is the international community is right there with us in support of reform. So it is a new day at the UN.
So we wanted to find out how Ambassador Nikki Haley is doing in her role, and is she promoting the President's America First agenda at the UN? To help break down what has changed at the United Nations with Nikki Haley as ambassador and what she hopes to accomplish on behalf of her boss, Donald Trump, I spoke earlier with Richard Gowan. He's a fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations, and he also teaches at Columbia University.
I think Nikki Haley's doctrine has been to try to balance the Trump administration's America First rhetoric with more practical diplomacy, especially over North Korea. Power was and is a great expert on the United Nations, and she really cared about the nitty-gritty of peacekeeping operations and humanitarian aid. Haley is, by her own admission, not a UN expert, and she is sitting in New York really trying to navigate the storms of the Trump administration while keeping foreign diplomats on side.
So how does she do that in the real world at the UN? Let's take an example. A North Korean missile launch, the president tweets that the response from the United States will be fire and fury. That's not diplomatic speak and probably doesn't do well in a forum like the UN. How does she handle it?
Haley has developed pretty collegial relations with the representatives of other major countries, especially the other permanent members of the Security Council. And she works in a good, solid diplomatic way. And she has been able to negotiate two pretty tough resolutions on North Korea. Now, she makes compromises. She has demanded some measures against North Korea, such as a total cutoff of energy, that China in particular simply won't accept. And when necessary, Haley backs down. This is good diplomacy. As well as being a good diplomat, though, she's a good politician. So she's quite skilled at wheeling, dealing, compromising in New York, and then going out to the media, going back to Republicans in Washington, and selling whatever she's achieved as a big, big win for the U.S. In the second quarter of this year, she said that she wanted to cut $1 billion from the UN peacekeeping budget, which overall adds up to about $8 billion. Other countries wouldn't accept that because they thought the cuts were too savage. They would undermine Blue Helmet operations in places like South Sudan. So behind closed doors, Haley and her team compromised on a cut of $500 million, half of what she wanted. Now, that was fine with everyone. It was possible to find savings that didn't do any great damage to any UN mission. Diplomats were happy. The countries that contribute troops to UN missions were happy. But then Haley was able to go back to Washington and make some very strong statements about how she had saved money for the US taxpayer. Again, classic diplomacy. You give just enough to keep your foreign counterparts on board, and then you take your partial success home and boast about it all over Twitter and all over the media.
And what about with your boss, who loves to make incendiary statements not only about the United Nations, but about world affairs? It's one thing for Nikki Haley to make these deals at the UN, but then you say she effectively can turn around and keep the White House happy and ostensibly keep the president happy too.
I think Haley does sometimes struggle to keep the president happy, but ironically, that's because she's good at her job. And there have been a couple of occasions this year where there have been stories in the media about how Haley seems to be the most effective member of the cabinet and perhaps even presidential material in her own right. And sitting here in New York, we've noticed that whenever that happens, Trump and his team go out of their way to take her down a notch or two. You suddenly get a little tide of briefing coming from Washington about how Trump will rein Haley in. Even after the last Security Council negotiations on North Korea, which resulted in a pretty good sanctions resolution, Trump went out of his way to say that he didn't think the resolution would work. And our assumption is that is because the president is nervous that Haley is outshining him.
Lots of people have natural political skills, and I hear you saying that Nikki Haley has significant natural political
Absolutely.
Skills, but no experience in diplomacy. So where did she learn this?
I think that we sometimes overestimate how difficult diplomacy is. Haley had a really testing training in South Carolina as governor. I think the politics of being governor of a major state actually does prepare you quite well for the wheeling and dealing that is necessary in New York. There were a lot of people who were quite patronizing towards her when she was offered the post of U.S. ambassador to the U.N. last year. They thought that someone who hadn't been out in the field, who didn't have the U.N. expertise of someone like Samantha Power, would crash and burn in the Security Council. But Haley has a knack for diplomatic negotiation, and she's also supported by a really professional team of diplomats at the U.S. mission to the U.N., and she's making it work.
And finally, her potential presidential future that you and everyone else talks about, and apparently the White House is not fond of talking about, is ambassador to the United Nations a potential way to get there?
There is at least one previous ambassador to the United Nations who became president. That was George Bush Sr. Look, Haley's doing very well, but I think we all know that there have been many, many U.S. politicians who've been called presidential hopefuls and then never quite make it to the finish line. I think Chris Christie, if he ever listens to The Takeaway, would recognize that. I think Haley has what it takes to go beyond the U.N. I doubt she's going to be at the U.N. more than a year or two. Is she going to get to the White House? I think that is in the lap of the gods.
Richard Gowen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Richard Gowen is with the European Council on Foreign Relations and teaches at Columbia University.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.